Select your program.
Philosophy.
Program initiated. Approach the threshold. Engage rationality. Open your mind. Godspeed.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Flagship Freedom, the podcast that places you on the front line in the war of ideas. My name is Michael.
And I'm Danny Boy.
Danny Boy. And we are back to talk with you, about the fundamentals of what this beautiful philosophy is all about. And I think we're just going to go right into it. We'd like to discuss freedom, property rights, self-ownership, and then another thing that's called the non-aggression principle, the NAP. We'll be touching briefly upon each one of these things, and then perhaps in subsequent episodes we'll talk a little bit further about them. But right now, we think it's an important thing to lay as a foundation for what we'll talk about in the future. Right, Danny?
Right. We're always talking about freedom and liberty, right? That's all you hear from libertarians, freedom and liberty, and we only care about ourselves, right? But we need to define that, because the beginning of wisdom is to call things what they are. I forget who said that, but it's very true.
Sounds like an ancient Greek philosopher.
We need to have clear definitions. So what is freedom? Freedom, we all understand, it's the ability to act on a preference. It's to do what you want. But when we advocate for freedom, we're not talking about going out and literally doing whatever you want. We're not talking about the freedom to murder and to steal, etc. And that's where the distinction between freedom and liberty comes in. But basically, what we're advocating is that humans have maximum freedom in human society within the bounds, some very, very basic and common sense bounds of property rights, self-ownership, and self-ownership means other people own themselves, so you must respect other people's rights to their own bodies, their own property. And from that, you can cogently describe that as the non-aggression principle. Those are the core philosophies, the underpinning of libertarianism, of voluntarism, is the non-aggression principle, property rights and self-ownership.
So what you're saying is that we start freedom is our natural state. So, you know, you find us in the wild, just like animals. They are free. They are able to do whatever they prefer. If we start as free people in a natural state where we are able to do, we're able to act out our preferred state, we must then sort of delineate what we're able to do with this freedom. So we really have to figure out what we own. And by own or ownership, I mean what we have control over, you know, what we can do with what we want. Because, you know, I can't go up to Danny, punch him in the face without expecting that he's going to do something back to me. I don't have the right to do that. And if I break that, then he's going to come right back at me. Nor do I have the ability to take his stuff without his permission. So we really have to nail down what we can do with this fantastic thing, this great gift that we have, this freedom. And that's what we call property rights. So on a fundamental level, we say that we own our bodies. And that is pretty intuitive. Yeah, Danny?
Right. That hardly needs explaining.
Yeah.
I own my body. I'm responsible for the effects of its actions. We all, whether we can articulate it or not, we understand, like, why is slavery wrong? It's actually maybe harder than you think to actually explain that. I mean, where do you start? What do you use as your core principles? It's bad to harm people. You don't have the right to do that. Well, says who, right? And I just want to throw something out there. Mm-hmm. To the moral relativists who say, well, property rights and self-ownership, these concepts don't exist. These are all human creations. These are all social constructs. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, yeah, technically you could say that we're making these rules, but do you want to live in a society where we don't have any respect or any ground rules for human interaction? No, because you come onto my property, I blow your head off, you destroy the entire neighborhood. I don't think anybody wants
the caricature escalated very quickly.
Yeah, the caricature of a society without government, right?
Right, right.
We need to establish and universalize basic rules. And as you said, self-ownership is one of those rules. It's intuitive. It makes sense that I'm responsible for the effects of my actions. If I hit somebody, you don't punish the person standing next to me, you punish me. Likewise, though, if I create something, if I invest my labor into an object, that I am responsible for that, at least more so than the random passerby. I have a higher claim to an object which I've invested my blood, sweat, and tears into than a random passerby. And that sort of leads to the concept of physical property. And there are, you know, gray areas. Social sciences are not exact mathematical sciences. You know, you can't just go out and put a flag down and say, I own the moon. You don't just get to claim stuff. You have to invest your labor. And that's why, you know, there are fuzzy boundaries when it comes to claiming, so to speak, natural resources, because you didn't create those. Mm. You may do something to unlock their utility, but you didn't create them, and they are scarce. But in any case, you know, those are the gray areas. We're primarily interested in the property which is created, because that's ultimately what property is. And what we're essentially saying is, hey, don't steal people's stuff.
Yeah.
Trespass on people's property. I mean, it's funny that it even has to be said, but that is a core philosophy which we believe you need to be consistent. If you can't universalize that concept and apply it across human society, how can you expect to have a society which makes sense? If you're allowed to steal, if the government is allowed to steal, then that means everyone is allowed to steal, because humans are all created equal, and it makes no sense that one person can do something, has a right which another person doesn't have. That's a contradictory idea.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. So we have this natural state of freedom from which we must derive limitations, just based off of creating restraint and order, and making sure that we live in a peaceful and cooperative society, which we call property rights. And our freedom, we must also manage. We must own the actions so that we do not commit violence upon other people. And that sort of concept, this concept of not aggressing on people, is known as the non-aggression principle. So what we mean by this is that we are not able to, as human beings, initiate force. We are not able to simply attack someone unless that person has attacked us first, in which we are defending ourselves. Now, does that mean that we are a pacifist people?
Yeah, perfect question. The NAP, non-aggression principle, is of course not pacifism, because, and this can get a bit confusing and misleading. You could even call it a misnomer. What if somebody walks into your house, right?
Right.
Technically, you are initiating force to remove them. So to fully define the non-aggression principle, it's the initiation of force against people or property. Okay, I realize it's not a pure definition in the sense of the words, but I mean, you get the idea, right?
Right.
Don't hit, don't steal.
Right. So does that mean that if somebody walks onto our property or cleans our clock, that we should go back and kill them?
I would argue that you are only permitted proportional force.
Mm.
Force that is necessary to remove the threat. Not sure what you mean by cleaning your clock.
Yeah, that's a little subjective.
But I don't think I answered your question. No, it's not pacifism. You are allowed to defend yourself and your property as well as other people.
Yeah.
But beyond that, the use of force cannot be justified, because it goes back to this contradictory idea. If I'm allowed to initiate force against you, walk up to you and push you around, force you to do stuff, take your stuff, you should be able to do the exact same thing. You're allowed to resist me. So therefore, the idea that you can do this to other people and they're not allowed to resist you, which is kind of the core concept of the state of government, that is kind of a contradiction. Would you agree?
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I really would like to talk a little bit about why the government is in violation of this. But before we do that, I do want to make mention that the non-aggression principle is something that is old. I mean, this goes by many, many different names. Many of us that, you know, you our listener, might be familiar with this as the golden rule. But a lot of different religions, a lot of different lifestyles and philosophies have had this law, this rule over time. Some people call it an axiom. Some people call it a law. Some people call it a philosophy. But it really is the linchpin of a lot of modern religions. The Judeo-Christian religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam have a version of the Golden Rule somewhere within their holy books. But also it's found in Confucianism and Buddhism and Jainism, Hinduism. Just a couple of examples. In Christianity, you have Matt 7:1, do not judge, or you too will be judged. In Confucianism, what you don't want done to you yourself, don't do to others. That's found in the Analects. Buddhism, in the Udana Varga, hurt not others in ways that you would not find hurtful. And in Judaism, the Talmud, Shabbat 3, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is the whole Torah. All the rest of it is a commentary. Go and learn. That's some pretty big stuff. So clearly, all of these individuals throughout time found this non-aggression principle to be a very, very important aspect of living. In fact, the Jews believe this to be the fundamental, essentially, you know, the love thy neighbor. But we really take the religiosity and the religion out of it.
And there's a reason why. Why is this popping up over and over across the globe?
Yeah, it's not coincidence.
Right. Separated cultures, separated peoples, different races, different times.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence. It can't be. It's a self-evident truth that's written on our hearts.
Right, right. So all of this is fine and dandy, but where have we gone wrong? What have we done to make ourselves go astray?
Right. We have one institution at the center of society.
Oh, tell me more. Tell me more.
The government.
Ba-ba-bum.
The government. What makes the government different? Why are we talking about the government?
Mm.
We're here to tell you the central truth, the big bad secret, that the government is a walking contradiction, a walking violation of the non-aggression principle. How so?
Mm.
Because the government claims the right to violate people's rights, to force you to do things, to take your stuff. It's really that simple. Where the interesting part comes in is undoing all of the programming that we've all been brought up to believe. But really what it boils down to is the government claims to have rights which other people do not have. Perfect example, taxation. And you've probably heard it before, taxation is theft. Well, why is that? Does the government own everything? Like, if we believe in property rights, we believe that if you're in someone's house, you have to follow their rules. But the idea that the government has the right to tax people, free people who live on their own private land, free individuals, that simply does not logically follow. How can it be that you owe money for something you never agreed to? Now, if the government owned all land in a known geographical area, that might be another story and a topic for another time. But if we believe at all in the concept of freedom and private property and private individuals living their own lives, basically not living in a totalitarian state, you have to recognize that the government has no authority to do what it claims to do, to be able to make laws and enforce those laws, enforce taxation, force people to do things against their will. Now, there's all the underpinnings of that, which we have to address. Like, well, what about democracy? Didn't we all agree to it? So it's not force. It's not aggression because you implicitly agreed, or I thought those rights, that authority came from the Constitution, or I thought the government owned and claimed and bought the land, you know, in the Louisiana Purchase, etc. So we have to address all of those arguments, but you will find as we knock each one down that they have no leg to stand on.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there are many common objections to this, and many, you know, we might not address now in this particular podcast, but one of the biggest ones that I ultimately hear is this idea that we all agreed. All of this is just like an agreed assumption, the social contract theory, the fact that somebody further along down the road agreed, and then, you know, that was just like a tacit agreement for the rest of humanity or the rest of the...
We voted on it.
Right.
And you live in the country, so aren't... You should be bound by those rules, right? Why is that not Fair.
And we can change, and we can change the, you know, the landscape, the political landscape through the mechanisms which we've created.
Or you could just leave, right? Just move to Somalia.
Yeah, that's a good choice, Somalia.
Right. So why, I mean, I don't know if we want to get into democracy. I mean, these are all huge topics which deserve their own time. But in a nutshell, other people, you don't get to delegate a right which you do not have. Like, if we all got together and voted and agreed that rape were okay, would that make it okay? No, of course not. We don't get to change morality just on a whim. And mass consensus does not do anything. It's literally mob rule. Now, again, we always have to reiterate these points because they're so deep within our minds. If you are on someone's legitimate property in their house, you do have to abide by their rules. And if they all want to have a vote to kick you out, okay, that's fine. But again, we fall back on the idea that who owns society? Who owns your house? Who owns your land? Who owns the fields, you know, the forest, the deserts? Are we really comfortable with the idea that the government owns all of that? And if so, where did they get that right? You can't just point to something and say, mine. And that's what we're all about, is establishing the legitimate authority to use force. That's what libertarianism is all about, is the question, answering the question, when is it justified to use force? Who has legitimate authority?
Yeah. And that seems like a question that has been asked over and over again throughout history, where it's like you have quasi-republican Rome, and then it falls to totalitarianism. And then many, many, many years later, you still have totalitarianism in England, in Spain, in France, in the form of monarchies. And then we have what we call an enlightenment, and we have the idea of individual liberties, which is created somewhere within the 18th century, and somewhat, I think, in Hobbes and the Leviathan. But principally through, you know, Locke, through Hobbes, then through John Stuart Mill. But while all this was taking place, we are constantly rolling back to the question, who granted this person this authority? This person, these people, this government? And every single time, we have not seen a moment where people have been satisfied with that particular answer. There's always a revolution, a new treatise, a new discussion about who gave you that right to do that for which you're doing right now, for which you're oppressing us, for which you're stealing from us, from which you are murdering us? And it always seems to come from God, from might makes right, the fact that we voted on it, and all of these things end up falling short in the long run. So what we're proposing, it should be cast by the wayside. We've developed so much as human beings, but I don't think that we should end as a civilization, but I do not believe that we should, and nor do I think that we can stop here.
Yeah, and even the arguments, you know, you have the moral, and then you have the practical.
Yeah, right.
Right, the idea that, okay, yes, we understand that that taxation is theft, and that government truly doesn't have the right or the authority, the permission to force people to do things, but what about roads? What about Ma Roads?
Ma Roads? Is that a meme?
Oh, yeah.
Meme language?
Ma Roads.
Ma Roads, yeah.
Ma Social Security. Ma Public Schools. What about all those? How do we... Mike, who's going to run society?
Chaos. Mohawks. Molotov cocktails. Mad Max. Commies. Yes. But really, I mean, what prevents that?
It's a great question. But, well, here's a way of looking at it. Nobody wants to live in a chaotic society. And let me propose a completely alternative way of looking at the situation. We're all begging the question. We're all asking, like, how are we going to have security without government? That question implies that security and order, basically law and order in general, can only be provided by government, which is an institution which relies upon theft and aggression. So what you're essentially saying when you ask that question is, without people who steal from us and force us to do things against our will, who's going to protect us from those who would steal from us and force us to do stuff against our will, right? In what universe does a monopoly on the initiation of force, how is that ever a good idea? That's the alternative way I'm proposing that we look at this. We've all been brainwashed and brought up in a society where we think, we assume, we take it as granted that only government can do this. We have to establish this central hierarchy that we all have to obey. Why? On what grounds? Why can't we have those legitimate services, which government does provide legitimate services, mm-hmm. property protection, dispute resolution is a legitimate service. Of course, we want roads, we want schools, we want someone to protect us from thieves and murderers and criminals. But why can't we have that through voluntary trade?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, and there are a lot of what ifs when it comes to a free society. You know, one society might be different from the other, and that doesn't necessarily mean that one is better or worse than the other. You're not going to get a bunch of different societies that abide in these particular core principles that are all the same. They might be culturally different, they might be religiously different, but that's okay, just so long as they're abiding in these particular principles. So it's not like we're prescribing an exact lifestyle for which you can solve all of these small little problems, like how will we protect ourselves? How will we build these roads? How will we do this? How will we do that? Because in all of these situations, we can imagine in an institution, a business, a group doing that same thing and probably better. In fact, I would say in every case.
Right. And that's why you see, when you look across the world, you see a positive correlation. Take every country in the world and look at their prosperity versus their economic freedom. And you can drill down as far as you want. You can look at the quality of education. Any service that gets socialized goes to hell. I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but it's really true. And, the more hardcore you go, the worse it gets. The more capitalism you have, this is not an opinion. This is a well-established fact that the more you respect these natural rights of man, the more society works out. It's like an engineer who doesn't understand F equals MA. He can build a machine, but it's going to crash every time, or it's not going to work very well if you don't understand the natural laws, the natural order of things which are supposed to govern.
And now the idea that capitalism is the best economic mode is one that is not necessarily one, it's not something that people, that everyone here in America abide in. And it's something that I think we will address in a later podcast when we go into, I think, the economic systems of a free society, because that is a doozy. That could be many, many, many podcasts.
Yeah, and if I could just take a step back to sort of encapsulate why socialism versus capitalism. A lot of people, that has no connection to freedom. They don't know what is, why do we care about socialism versus capitalism? What it boils down to is capitalism, free markets, is just an embodiment of the non-aggression principle and property rights. You have your money, I have my money, I have my skills. We trade voluntarily. Peaceful cooperation, that's all it is. Whereas socialism is the initiation of force. You don't get to opt out, like Social Security. Do I get to not pay into this scheme? No, otherwise I'll go to jail.
Right.
And in fact, that's the reality with any law. All laws which do not align with natural law are a violation of the non-aggression principle. For instance, what about laws that say, like minimum wage? Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure we make clear how is government in violation of the non-aggression principle? I don't know that we explained that enough. So let's take an example real quick.
Yeah, let's.
Minimum wage, that's a law. You don't get to opt out of that law. Nobody asked your permission. I never agreed to a minimum wage. I never agreed to let's say drug laws. Any number of laws out there, eminent domain, the government can come take your property. Let's take minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Why? How is that a violation?
Yeah. So I'm a business owner. You know, you come to me and you want to be hired, but I'm interested in paying you perhaps less than minimum wage. And you're in agreement with that. So we shake hands and then we find out that there's a law that states that we cannot make this agreement, even though both parties are okay with that particular payment. There's a problem right there, because me as a business owner, I own my business, the land that it stands on, my labor, my body. You own your body.
Your money, most importantly.
And my money. And you own your body and your labor to give for what you would like. And I would like to purchase your labor. And if we are in agreement voluntarily, then what's the problem? Well, the problem is that we need to make sure, but I mean, the government swoops in and says, you can't do this because if you are paying less, then you are exploiting Dear Danny, and that's no good, even though he wants to do this.
Right. So clearly that cannot stand against the idea that we are all have domain over our bodies. We all get to choose. Part of freedom means you get to make your own life decision. Mm. And we are not omnipotent people. As much as we like to think that presidents and politicians are all-knowing, wise, have the ability to predict how best to organize society, they don't. In fact, they're probably the worst people. But in any case,
even the ones that we admire the most, like George Washington, owned slaves.
Right.
So, you know, we can't glorify and deify these people that have given us wonderful and rich traditions. As much as I respect and appreciate the intellectual capacity of these people and the foundations for which they built, deifying them crystallizes their place in the pantheon of American glory, so for which we can't really pass unless we say, okay, these guys were wrong on this, this, and this, and this. That's how every other person has done it. This is how scientific progress occurs. This is how philosophical progress occurs. I get shivers down my back whenever I think of that quote. The only reason why I see further is because I stood on the shoulders of giants. I think that was Isaac Newton. That's so true. If we were to stop right now and say, this is it, this is the end, this is the best we have, we would be condemning thousands of years of intellectual progress, blood, sweat, and tears that people have given these gifts of intellectualism, reason, logic.
And we're trying to look just a little bit higher over the horizon, yeah, to come up with a society that makes a little more sense. So if we were to codify this whole concept.
Yeah, because this is a lot.
It's very simple. All we're saying, all we're proposing, we're not trying to establish a new system, some new political preference, some new fancy way that we can lord over everybody. All we're saying is don't hit, don't steal. And if you're going to hit somebody, you can only do it defensively, right? So don't pick fights with people and don't steal their stuff. That's really all it is. Everything else, you know, and there is plenty out there. There are lots of complicated questions and difficult social problems to solve. But if we are to ever have a hope of having a just and equitable society and a society which actually makes social progress and can address these problems, the very first thing we should do is recognize the domain, the rights of the individual. If we can't respect the individual, how can we claim to support the minority? So that's all we're proposing, is that let's not have a central coercive organization at the center of society that has some hallucinated right to boss people around and take their stuff. And that's all it is to me. It's really personal and obvious.
It is. There's a lot to take in because there's a lot of systems that we have to break down, things that we've learned since essentially birth through years and years of schooling, the right way and the wrong way. And it seems like all of a sudden, a lot of this stuff has flipped around. And it doesn't mean that Danny has everything figured out. It doesn't mean that I have everything figured out. But together, we hope to explore these ideas further and find a light at the end of the passage. And of course, you, our listener, will have a lot of questions, comments, and concerns for which we would love to have you communicate with us, whether on our show or through email. You'll find our email at the link at the bottom of the page. If you are listening through our website or if you're listening through iTunes, Google Play, you'll find it through our show notes. But we encourage you to visit all of those things, take a look at our community, and get a hold of us if you're interested in contributing to the conversation.
You, as the listener, if you've made it this far already, you're already light years ahead of your peers. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening with an open mind, joining us on what may seem like a meandering and rambling journey. But this really is, these are incredibly important ideas. And I'll just leave with the quote, no army can stop an idea whose time has come. So join us for the ride, if nothing else, You will sharpen your arguments, you'll sharpen your mind, and have a new way of looking at the world. So, thanks everyone.
That was really good, Danny. Take care, everyone. Bye.
And I know nobody else ain't gonna do.